What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA. We're smoking weed and talking mixed martial arts. This is episode number 68. My name is Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We are coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. On this episode, we are going to be talking about the aftermath of UFC 251. We're going to take a look ahead to the next UFC Fight Island card. And before we get in all that, let's talk about our weed of the week, which frankly, Paul, we don't honestly have a weed of the week. We've had a weed of the last, like, 3 weeks, which we still have. You know, things are strange in the weed market out here right now. The dispensaries are all, a lot of them are still closed. A lot of them have some old weed they're trying to unload. And I happen to have a ready amount of this Fire OG. So we've been smoking that. We did hit some concentrate earlier. What did you have? It's like diamonds mixed in with some butter.
Yeah, it's some diamond batter.
Some diamond batter.
Yeah. I can't remember the strain off the top of my head.
It's pretty creamy looking, though.
Yeah, it's nice.
It looks nice, dude. Mm-hmm. We hit that earlier off this beautiful little wig you brought over. Yep. You can't see that on camera. Let me move this ridiculous Fiji water bong out of the way. Yeah, that's a nice little rig. Is this a new one you got?
It's a newer one.
Newer. I don't think I've seen this before.
No, we had it a couple episodes ago.
Have we? Dude, it's usually because we're hitting it with the dads and I'm not really paying attention to the rig. But it's nice, dude. It's nice. But like I said, we got the Fire OG. We're going to have that probably next week, too, honestly. Hopefully the weed market opens up again here.
Yeah, we'll see.
I was thinking about picking up some white Tahoe cookie. I heard it's around. But I don't have time to do that yet today. But shit, man, let's dive into the fights while we hit this weed right here. I got this loaded. We got this pipe loaded. If you're listening, hopefully you are sparking up some joint of some stanky weed. And let's talk about UFC 251, man. Let's dive right into the main event, which saw is a 170 title defense, welterweight Kamaru Usman, the champ, against the BMF champ, the baddest motherfucker title holder.
They did bring it to the
octagon. George Masvidal. And it was a short notice fight. You know, we've looked at this fight a while in the past, Paul, and it didn't come together. They didn't want to pay George. He walked away. They had to, Gilbert Burns booked.
Yeah.
And who'd you like in that original matchup?
Originally, I liked Burns. You know what?
Why did he miss the fight? It was due to COVID,
right? Yeah, he got COVID, yes.
Okay.
I want to bring something up that DC said that I kind of agree with.
What did Cormier say?
I think that freaking Usman was so willing to accept the George fight, even though they were like bitter rivals and everything like that, because I don't know if he was 100% like 100% confident in himself that he was going to go out there and handle Gilbert. That maybe in the fucking practice and training room might have been a little bit different or a little closer, or a little too close for comfort. That, because originally it was said that the UFC wanted to reschedule the Burns Usman fight, but then Usman said he wanted to stay on the card.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you wonder, you know, like how close are they skill wise?
Because ultimately we saw Usman win a 5-round decision that was pretty damn dominant. I mean,
pretty dominant in a way that if he had fought Gilbert Burns, I don't see it going the same way just because of Gilbert Burns' grappling experience.
Well, I think Gilbert beats him as well. Gilbert's a different kind of beast right now. Let me tell you my views on the fight. The fight itself was pretty boring.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pushing George against the cage using shoulder strikes and foot stomps, which... Foot stomps went out in 2002, bro. They don't cause damage. Like, you might think they do if you're watching on TV.
It's just activity.
It's just bullshit activity to keep from getting pulled off of someone against the cage. You throw a few shoulder strikes. Unless you're Conor McGregor. I mean, those weren't Conor McGregor shoulder strikes.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some BS shoulder strikes and some BS foot stomping, and it was boring.
Yeah.
But, hey, Usman got the win.
Yeah.
He did what he had to do. But in we're hearing from George, and this is the big thing that I'm taking away from this fight, is Masvidal made a mistake here. if he wasn't in fight shape, which is clear he wasn't, and he's even saying so afterwards, oh, with a full camp, now I beat him. Then why did you shouldn't have taken this fight, man?
No.
Because you
20 pounds.
He blew it then. This was his moment. This he had all the momentum. And I just assumed that he was maintaining fight shape and readiness for something like that. Because it's not unheard of that the fight would fall out. Dude. I mean, look at the situation. It could fall out in regular situations, let alone the midst of this COVID nonsense. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's it. The luster is off of him that quick. He got dominated pretty badly. I don't think he can get that big fight. I don't think Connor's going to mess with him right now. I don't think that there's a big money fight for him. What, he's going to rematch Nate? I mean, maybe, but that's lost a lot of shine, too. I think he miscalculated. I think he should have waited. If he was really waiting to get paid and he wasn't in fight shape, he would have kept all that demand that he had, still would be intact, and he could wait and fight somebody else. Instead, he wasn't ready, took the shot anyways, and just got basically his ass kicked. And now we're hearing, oh, with a full camp, now I got the formula. And I'm sure he believes that, and that could be true. I'm not denying that. But as far as his the maximum amount of eyeballs to capitalize on his fame. It's not like he's over as a fighter, but this moment of fame, that's kind of done. It's not over, but it stopped but really fell.
I disagree.
Like, he didn't even look good in the fight.
I disagree.
Well, let me hear what you got to say.
I disagree. I think that this fight altogether was a win-win for George because being it was on 6 days' notice, and that was very, very, very publicized. Like, if you every freaking... Every ESPN thing, every update, every commercial, everything was George Masvidal, 6 days' notice. Yeah. This, that, and the other, 20 pounds. All the stuff you saying going into the fight that gave it the luster that you're speaking of. I just think that it didn't lose any of that because although he dominated on the scorecards, he didn't physically dominate him. He didn't do what happened to Conor and Khabib. He didn't do what happened.
Most of it was holding him up against the cage. Yeah. But, I mean, George couldn't get out from underneath the cage, though.
That's fine. But the problem, here's the thing. In a rematch, like you were saying, dude, George looks fat. I'm just going to be honest here. He had a significant amount of chub on him compared to when he fought Nate, without a doubt. It's not an excuse. It's not, you know, it's just what it is. He had a significant amount of fat on his body compared to when he was fighting before. I think the problem lies there. I think whereas we saw earlier, not earlier, but in the last 4 or 5 fights in his career where he talked about how his cardio's gotten so much better because he's like stopped thinking about it so much and like really dealt with it. I think in a six-day notice fight where you cut 20 pounds in 6 days, I think you're thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was...
Well, yeah, that was the first sign of doubt in my mind was that weight cut, but I still believe that he was in fight shape.
Well, here's the thing, too. You're just softer, too, when you're out of shape.
Yeah.
You're softer. I hate to say it. You're just softer. I'll compare it. Just think about it this way. In the first round, in the first minute and a half, he got slammed. Shoulder to the solar plex. I tell you, from years and years of wrestling, I guarantee you that gassed him right there.
Probably.
Yeah. Gassed him right there because I can tell you from wrestling in the past, if you take a couple months off, then get back in there and start grappling, like there's a wall you hit really, really early compared to how much you felt like you've had before. Like there's,
for sure.
There's this build-up breakdown process that happens when you get into, you know, season shape or fight shape or anything like that, that every athlete goes through. And I feel like George didn't have a chance to go through those obstacles through training camp that would build him mentally and physically, that when he got there, he almost treated it like it was a win-win no matter what. Like, he didn't really necessarily have to win because he was the guy stepping in on 6 days' notice and not to say he wasn't trying to win, because everybody's trying to win, you know. Yeah. But I didn't see George take the big risks that he took against Nate and Darren Till and Ben Askren and in that fight. See, he fought real tentative. If you really look at it, like, he didn't really throw many, like he was trying to set his jab up the whole fight. Like, if you really look at it. Like,
no, I agree, and that's why
it was a constant setup of his jab.
I don't think there's this massive demand to see his next fight unless he does something dramatic.
Well, I think the biggest thing he should do is fight Leon Edwards next and sleep him. If he fights Leon Edwards next and fucking
he needs something
sleeps
like that.
Him,
he can't risk taking a fight. He's not going to get the big money fight next.
I think Nate is still a big money fight. Up. I think a Nate rematch is still a big money fight.
Probably because of Nate's shine, and that's a fight he can win. Hopefully, I mean for his sake, not as a fan. I don't know if I want him to beat Nate again. I was rooting for Nate the last time, but
well, and then also you got to think if you do, I feel like he hasn't. Although he has somewhat, I don't think he's fully like. Use the whole three-piece in a soda thing. I feel like if he fights Leon, it will be such a bigger like he could use that so much against him, like in the pre-fight build-up, that like he can make T-shirts and say
that's
shit.
Probably the
like,
best thing
like
he could do.
It would be make the most sense.
But he has to win that fight. If he loses that fight, then
yeah. Well,
that's
fighting.
Career is over.
That's
but this
fighting.
Moment of shine. This thing where he's a big deal. That's all I'm talking about. I don't mean he's done as a fighter. I mean this big deal that he
or
is.
Or he can fight Colby.
Away. He said he doesn't go fuck with Colby. I think Colby would. He can't fight Colby like he fought Kamaru.
See, I just have a hard time having this conversation because of the 6 days notice. If he's in full shape and that happens to him, it's a different conversation.
I guess I thought he'd just be in better shape. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't proceed, at least the possibility of something like this happening.
But you took three. He was in the middle of camp and then took 3 weeks off in the middle. That's so much time to get out of shape, dude, as far as like.
For sure.
Fighting shape, you know, it's a different game, especially a 5-round fight.
Yep.
Like, he was done after two or three.
For sure. He looked clearly gassed on the stool.
Yeah.
In between rounds. He's breathing. I mean, it is what it is. I think you kind of blew your moment of shine. That's all. He's still got a little bit. I'm not saying it's over.
Yeah.
But he's not going to get, like, the Conor fight. I think that's. If he goes and knocks out Leon Edwards and boom, I think it all comes right back.
I think the allure of the belt is always going to pull Conor in no matter who the champion is. I just think the most winnable fight for Conor to get a third belt would probably be fighting George.
Yeah, I agree with that.
In his mind, I feel like that would probably be the most winnable fight. Because what are you going to rematch Khabib? It's probably not going to go very well. I mean, it could. Don't get me wrong. Anyone can beat anybody on any night. Anybody can get slept. Anybody can get hit with one shot, slept. And it is what it is. But technically, I feel like with his grappling, they're so far apart. And kind of in the same breath with Usman and Masvidal is like, you wonder how far apart they are technically in the grappling game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's a big, big part of it.
I agree, definitely.
So what do you think is next for Usman, though?
I don't think the Colby rematch is going to happen.
Good.
What's Woodley doing?
He sucks.
He sucks. Yeah, so Woodley's out of it.
He's out. He's lost two in a row. 10
Burns.
Rounds.
Yeah, I think he's going to be Gilbert Burns.
Think Burns?
Yeah.
Do you think Leon Edwards has anything to say?
I think no. Unfortunately, people don't care that Leon Edwards is on this huge win streak. And I think it's fucked up. I think he deserves a title shot, but in this UFC now, you have to do more than just win some fights, man.
Yeah, true.
And, like, no one is saying his name. People like you and me, like Ariel Helwani might say his name. Luke Thomas might say his name. But it's, like, are people that buy pay-per-views talking about, they're like, who the fuck is Leon
Edwards? He's another one, though,
that Masvidal kicked his ass backstage, that guy?
Yeah.
I remember him. That guy.
He's another one, though, that had his chance after he beat RDA to really have his shine. And then he didn't fight again. And now he hasn't fought in a year.
Right.
So where you got all that love, now it's all gone again. And it's not his fault, unfortunately. That's what kind of sucks about this whole COVID situation. Is there's a lot of fighters that have literally just gotten screwed training-wise and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I'm thankful the UFC is going.
But it's a motherfucker.
It is. What about the next title fight? I mean, that sums up the first one. You know,
biggest bullshit of the night, in my opinion. Biggest bullshit. I can't continue to watch these fucking judges butcher decisions, man.
I just don't see it as being that bad, especially now looking at the stats. When you look at it, I mean, let's talk about what happened first. Is Volkanovski wins a controversial decision? Did Max have, was it split?
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't say on here. I'm looking at the stats. I'm just looking at the fight stats so we can talk about that. But ultimately,
I want to bring he wins.
But it's a five-round decision, and I think everybody agrees that Max won the first two. Yeah. Everybody agrees Volkanovski won the last two. But what's the question is one round. The third round is what everything swings on. But, I mean, when you look at – you've got the champ outstruck him 111 to 139. Significant strikes 102 to 137. Takedowns 3 to 0.
He also stuffed six of them, though.
You don't win fights stuffing takedowns.
That's bullshit. That is bullshit. You cannot sit there –
that'd be like winning fights for blocking a punch.
No. Here's the thing. The UFC has done this thing – where you score with takedowns, but you don't score with takedown defense, and it's bullshit. Because it's just as hard to defend a takedown as it is to take somebody down, and you cannot say it isn't. And you, in the same breath, those three takedowns he got, Max literally popped up within a second. How much control time does he have? Does it show that? No. They also didn't score two knockdowns that he clearly had in the first two rounds. He knocked him down one... In the second one, okay, if you want to argue the second one doesn't happen.
Everybody's saying he won, but this isn't boxing. You don't get like a 10-8 round.
I get that. And that's not even what I'm saying. I'm just saying the judging has gotten so bad that now we're talking about two clear knockdowns that happened in the first and second round that aren't even scored because of bad judging.
I'll be honest, I haven't gone back and rewatched that fight yet. I saw
the first one clearly happened. First one, 100%.
So I can't disagree at all with what you're saying. I'm going to figure that is yet.
But here's the thing, too, what I'm saying with this. Like,
I'm not saying the judging's not fucked up. I agree with you. I just don't think this is an outright robbery.
I'm not saying it's like...
I think it all boils down to the third round and how people saw it, which was going to be ultra close.
I think
Max outstruck him by like four punches.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
It doesn't show it round by round here.
I just don't like how it's the MMA is scored in general, man.
Me neither. I agree 100%, dude. We don't need to be doing a 10-9 scoring system from boxing.
Well, not
this
even
isn't
that.
Boxing.
Not even that. Like I was just talking about, like defense and controlling where the fight goes is not scored correctly in MMA.
Well, it used to be, but it's the new rules that made that nothing. Octagon aggression and used to count for things, and control time on top used to count for things. Now, under the new scoring system,
it's stupid. That it makes doesn't. No sense because here's the thing, when you take someone down. Sure, you took him down, but it does matter what you do with it. And that counts for the main event as well. It was so boring to watch that fight because Kamaru Usman took him down and did nothing with it.
No, let me play devil's advocate. I'm not saying I disagree with you, but there's going to be a line of thought that says what you're saying is the equivalent of saying, look, a punch counts when it lands, but punch defense doesn't count. It's just as hard to defend against a punch as it is to land against a punch.
That's
so if I
not,
block a punch,
true,
if I slip a punch, if I see your punch coming and I slip underneath it, should that be a score?
Yeah, exactly. You know, because it is a score. It is, though.
If you're boxing and Pernell Whitaker is slipping 18 fucking punches but get hits by two and he doesn't land a single punch, they're going to give the fucking round to the guy that landed two punches against his none.
We're taking
a scoring system that comes from boxing. That's why it's relevant.
Well,
I mean, it's boxing scoring system.
But defense is also, like, that's why what I'm saying right now is it's not the same.
I'm not saying it shouldn't be counted and it's not counted. I'm saying
not
the offense greatly outweighs it. Like,
if you've ever grappled, you would know it's not. It's not the same.
Yeah, but this isn't grappling. This is mixed martial arts.
100%. It's mixed martial arts.
And grappling
is a part of it. And grappling is a part of it.
So 18 different other things.
Yeah, but I'm saying in the same way that you score offense, you need to score defense in grappling because it takes, offense to secure defense in grappling. There's sweeps, there's different switches, there's stand-ups that are moves inside of grappling that are point scoring moves that do matter in mixed martial arts. 100%. A stand-up does matter in mixed martial arts because there's countless fighters that get controlled and took to the ground and cannot stand up, and that control time on top is seen as a scoring move because you're controlling them. So if you cannot control me, you should not score.
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm saying under the current scoring system, it's never going to account for the same weight.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I'm just pointing the freaking inadequacies inside the scoring system.
I agree 100% with that.
Like, there's shit that Max was doing inside there to defend those takedowns and pop back up that all matter. Those moves matter. Like, if you stuff six takedowns, that matters. Like, if someone 33, he didn't even secure half his takedowns. He got 33%, 3 of 9. But
that's why takedowns count for so much in the judge's eyes, because they look offensive. You take a guy down, okay, there's a point. There's an imaginary point. It's not a point system, but it's in their head. They're like, oh, look, there's something.
Okay.
It's like a punch lands. They're like, oh, look, there's something.
I see what you're saying. But in the same way, if you try to take me down and I stuff your head in the mat and make you look like you have no control over me, a judge should also look at that and go, hey, he's controlling him in that same arena. You know what I'm saying? If you like in Masvidal's case, when Masvidal multiple times throughout the fight, Usman was not able to take him down, and they were giving him so much love on the freaking commentary side, going, "Oh my God, Masvidal's defense has gotten so great." Like, those things matter, man. Like,
I agree, they matter.
A high level
wrestler
being takedowns being stopped matter. When
they do.
When John Jones was stuffing DC's takedowns, that mattered. When Alexander Gustafsson stuffs great wrestlers' takedowns, that shit matters, because those guys are the best of the best of the best. And if you're able to control them at what they do best, that should matter.
I agree with you. I just think – but I think what balances scales a little bit for the grapplers, so it's not just all one-sided, like the takedowns, is it when they finally do, like if John Jones stuffs 5 takedowns in a round, but then DC takes him down one time, that one takedown is going to add more to DC than those 5.
That's crazy to me. That just doesn't make any sense.
But the judges are going to go, oh, look, he finally got a takedown word. He got that shit.
That just doesn't make sense.
And if it was a close round, that one takedown could win the round, even if, you know what I mean? If it will, and those 5 defenses wouldn't.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
But that's where we are.
Yeah.
And it's not going to change, because we're looking at commissions controlled by fucking local jurisdictions. They can't even agree on the set of rules we currently have.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake, what was it?
We had two different events ago.
Yeah,
we've had
where they
two
said
they were
going to do a hybrid.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually said on the broadcast the state commission's going to use part of these rules over here that are old and part of these new rules we adopted. We're going to blend them together, and those are the rules for tonight.
How can you imagine any other sport on the planet that could operate in such a manner?
That's absurd. And that's why they're never going to change.
And the same in live scoring, too, because I feel like Max took his foot off the gas because he thought he won the first 3 rounds handily.
I think live scoring would be the least they could do is put that shit up.
Live scoring matters, too. Like, what the fuck are we doing, man? Let's say I'm in the Super Bowl and I'm down 7 points with 2 minutes to go. But the scoreboard's off. What the fuck? What are we talking about here?
I agree.
How are we, there just doesn't make any sense. Any other large scale, like actual sport, boxing should do the same shit too. Like, there needs to be live scoring. You need to know if you're winning or losing. It's just sports. It's a sport.
How could that negatively impact the outcome in some way?
No way.
I don't understand how anybody could think that, no, that would somehow... The integrity of the sport would be at stake in some fucking manner. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
And one thing I want to bring up, too, with this judging bullshit is now, this isn't going to happen to Max Holloway because he's the 1%. But let's say that was on the undercard. That dude just lost half his money because a judge can't understand what the fuck he's watching.
Right. It's a crime.
It is.
And these are people that it's not like, oh, well, he's making millions anyways. No,
those kids on the undercard are making like 12 and 12 on a good day.
Yeah.
Like, literally,
and as we've often
nuts.
Talked about, it's not like that.
And that 12 gets cut in half.
Them.
Like,
yeah.
And then imagine that 12
you
that
taxes,
you got
your
cut
manager,
in half also.
Your gym fees.
You're making 3.
Yeah. And then you got to go support whatever. If you're lucky enough to be single,
yeah,
then you don't have to support much.
And then people ask, man, these guys fight so much. I mean, they're so tough. No, they have no other fucking choice.
Oh, the UFC gives them like 15% of revenue.
Let's look at it this way, bro. If that dude fights four times a year, he's maybe clearing 12 himself.
Right.
Like that's nuts.
So what's next for these guys? You think they book it a third time? Because Dana's pretty mad. Everybody's mad. Everybody thinks Max basically won. Dana's like, oh, I'm going to do something, but I think he's saying shit.
Yeah, Dana supposedly said he's not bringing the same judges back for Saturday's card.
And they can get away with that, I'm like 90% certain, just because they...
They're like running their own shit right now, aren't they?
This is Abu Dhabi. They don't have a...
Yeah. Hey, one thing I wanted to bring up to you real quick. Does the fucking Sheikh of Abu Dhabi still own part of the UFC?
No, he had to sell his part when the big sale went down. When the Fertittas got out, they also got out at the same time.
Okay,
so as far as I know.
I was going to say, because I wonder, because one thing I heard, that article we were reading last week about how this whole thing was all put on by royalty out in Abu Dhabi to, like, sell vacation packages.
Yeah, they actually paid the UFC for this. They covered all the expenses for Fight Island, and that's why during the pay-per-view, they kept talking about all the shit there is to do on Abu Dhabi. They're like, Abu Dhabi has many roller coasters, many places for water skiing, and world-class hotels. And it's John Anik is talking about it, and they're showing it on screen. You're like, what the fuck? That's why. And it's a great deal for the UFC. But it also ties into what we were just talking about. Dana says all kinds of shit. He was talking about Fight Island so expensive. Motherfucker, you all didn't pay shit. They actually got a fee for going out there. Everything was paid for, and they earned money for bringing the event to them. On top of the 1.2 mil it sold on pay-per-view, which is a big, big hit right there. I mean, a big score. That's good. 1.2 million is solid. I don't know if it's solid for the situation, frankly. I suppose you can make an argument that that's terrible. Look at the situation we're in, and it's the only goddamn sport on TV.
Yeah.
And you can barely convince a million people.
Yeah, we're kind of reopened
but,
now.
You know, it is what it is. I think it's solid.
Yeah.
But, it was all financed by Abu Dhabi. That was weird seeing all that stuff, but we're going to see more of that. It's pretty smart on their part. It looks like a sick place.
It's a negotiation tactic for Usman, too. He said, my pay-per-view sold 1.3 million.
Yeah, he's lucky. I honestly think that was Masvidal.
Oh, sold me too.
At one point.
Yeah.
Sold a million. Kamaru sold the 300,000. He's not a popular guy.
No.
I mean, let's be honest. He's not. He's an excellent fighter, but he doesn't connect with people. He comes across in a way that turns a lot of people off. So it is what it is, man. That's the fight game. You should be like Jon Jones and embrace that shit.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
So let's just keep going down. Oh, my gosh. The first title fight of the night was just hard to watch, man. Jose Aldo versus Peter Yan was freaking... It was hard. It was good at the beginning. Aldo looked real good to start. But he faded late. And when he faded, he started to get beat down. Like
Yan. Yan wins fourth round TKO. And that was...
Took about 30... unanswered strikes, laying in a pool of his blood, waiting for a stoppage.
I mean, you could say the ref gave the legendary Aldo as many chances as humanly possible to recover.
It was almost like the ref had some money on Aldo. He's like, get the fuck up, bro. Come on.
No one's going to say Aldo didn't have a chance. I mean, that was a brutal beatdown. It could have been stopped sooner. I'm not that upset about it because you can tap the strikes. We've seen it before.
True, but Jesus Christ, man.
Corner could have thrown that towel.
Yeah, they could have. But get him out of there, man.
But
he's
could have stopped that a lot
down.
Sooner, too.
Yeah,
That wasn't even close. That was it was probably more than 30. It was probably 90.
Yeah.
It was absurd.
Yeah.
Yan beat the shit out of Jose Aldo.
Well, I mean, in the first round, Aldo looked good and then got knocked down late, got hit with those big body shots.
And Yan kept throwing. He had a few big right hands in that first round. Like, it was close. I think
but
Aldo
then,
probably won, but
I think,
he still took a few big shots.
I think Aldo won the second and the third. The second and the third is when it was like, oh, wow, actually he's here to fight.
At the end of the
first, it was like, this is going to be a rough night for Aldo. It looked like he was going to be finished.
There's some more leg kicks from him than we've seen in years.
Yeah, it was crazy. He was fighting like old school Jose Aldo, but then I just feel like he gassed. He looked like he just gassed.
Dude, both times that he got taken down at the end of the first round by Yan, and Yan was fucking his world up when he was down. And then... Yeah. same thing happened in that fourth round, and he,
yeah,
and he was down. What was that? That must have been a good.
It was.
Was
bad,
that a minute and a half? Two yeah, minutes of being of just top beat down.
Yeah,
it was brutal.
Well, at the beginning of it, it wasn't that bad. Like the beginning, it was like you know, it was like the first round where it was like he's just getting ground and pounded. But then it the couple, the couple times that it took a turn, it took a bad turn. Like we're talking about, at one point he was just switching hands from ear to ear, trying to block the strikes, but they were just all landing, and he got away with a couple ones to the back of the head. But that happens in a ground and pound
situation. That happens in that type of situation. But it's an emphatic win for Peter Yan.
Yep.
No one is going to say he didn't win that belt convincingly.
Big fight.
And I also think on the flip side, it highlights why Jose Aldo shouldn't have been in that position to begin with.
Yeah.
Henry Cejudo would have jacked his world.
Oh, Henry Cejudo would have fucked Jose Aldo up. It would have been over. It would have been over quicker because he would have just took him down and beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, that probably would have been done in one or two rounds.
Yeah.
Jose Aldo, sorry. He's only 33, but his fight years are...
He's 133.
Right. He's 133, years. And it showed against a strong... Not taking anything away from Peter Yan. Cejudo's on a different level. He's Henry Cejudo.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because he's out of the picture now. So
is he, though?
Yeah. Jan's the champ. He might come back for Volk, but we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Out of 35, probably. Yeah. He's down there.
Jan's the champ, but I think the real champ,
is
the people's champ, the man that's going to take that belt, is Aljamain Sterling.
Yeah.
They should need to book that fight now.
Yep. They should. Because Aljo was freaking got in and out of there pretty quick.
Yeah.
I think they should run it next week.
That definitely needs to happen,
though. Yeah, for sure.
That's the next fight to make
that's
at 135.
The only fight
I don't
to
think
make.
Is there's any question.
And Dana White, quit playing around, bro. Well, we'll go back and we'll see. Motherfucker, you know that's the fight. Just shut up and watch. Like,
why does he do stuff like that?
I don't like it.
It's clear.
We never make the fight the night after a fight. You guys all know that. I don't even know why you ask these questions. That's the comment that's said at every press conference.
Yeah, it's time to seize the moment, Dana. The whole world supposedly is watching. There ain't shit else on. Why don't you tell him a little bit about Aljamain Sterling?
For sure. Aljamain is super marketable.
That dude's a fucking superstar in waiting. All he's got to do is win this belt, which I think he can clearly do.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
Aljo's a cool dude.
I don't see Peter Yan taking him down like that.
Where did we meet him? Was it the... We were walking through the... It was New York, New York, ironically.
Yeah.
Because he's... At the time, he's from New York.
Yep.
I say at the time, he's still from there, but he's bought a house here like 3 weeks ago in Vegas.
Yeah, we're staying in line in a restaurant to see if we can get a table or some shit
like
that.
Yeah, and he was walking by. It's nice. He stopped and took a pic. I posted it on our Instagram when I had him. He's a cool dude.
Yep.
Nice to bump into somebody.
It was during International Fight Week.
It was during International Fight Week, which is why we like going out
to
our casinos.
Oh, for sure. Because everyone's
we
there.
We bumped into Cejudo like that, bumped into Aljamain Sterling, and a bunch of others.
Yeah.
But, him here in Vegas is cool. He's going to split time training. Still part of the Sarah team.
I think he's just trying to get out of New York for a little bit because of what's going on.
And the taxes are brutal. He said that openly on the...
Oh, yeah.
He just did a Food Truck Diaries with Shab.
Yeah.
Actually, they recorded it like 3 weeks ago, but it just came out.
Yeah.
And he was saying that his taxes, they take too much of his money, bro.
Yeah.
Which, it's over 60% of his money goes to taxes out there in New York.
Jesus, really?
Yeah, dude. Come on here. They don't have a fucking state tax, bro.
Come on.
So.
He does this thing he was talking about on Joe Rogan that after every fight, he buys a property.
That's pretty fucking smart.
He's
friends with...
Yeah, he got his license with...
He has a license too, yeah.
Yeah, from... What the fuck's his name?
Why can't I not think of his name?
Rage and Al
Iaquinta. Yeah, no, that's super smart, man.
Yeah, super smart. That's
really what you need to be doing, even if it's small properties.
Yeah, for sure.
Hell
why not?
Yeah, bro.
Like, it's assets, you know what I mean?
Stuff that's, I wish I would have done.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure if we're making... $100,000 a fight, we'd fucking probably be doing
Yeah.
So.
I mean, these guys are underpaid, but guys like Aldo are still making good money. You're making 100K a fight.
And there's still those...
need more, but that's all right.
There's still those backdoor bonuses that aren't necessarily put out to the public.
Right,
like,
there's more money coming
those
in.
Those numbers
are some sponsor money.
Yeah.
The bigger dudes, like these guys getting 12 and 12, you don't get shit.
Yeah, they
don't
get
no backdoor money.
Those are the real money. But the guys who are on the main card, getting knockouts and shit like that, they got bonuses that are inside their contracts that are incentive based. You know,
I would hope so.
I think the days
of the Petita brothers big time locker room bonuses are long done. I don't think that happens in this day and age with these new owners. Rough. But some stuff in their contract that's not made public. I would sincerely hope so.
Yeah. Shit. Well, my thing is on that though is, I wish they would just do it like this. Like, okay, that guy who's getting paid 12 and 12, you know, that's 24 G's, right? Why don't you pay him 20 G's as a flat fee, but if he knocks the guy out, you pay him a $5,000 bonus.
Yeah.
So then like this kid's not losing his whole life.
Or subs him, yeah.
And then he still gets a bonus at the end of the night, and he gets paid the same shit you planned on paying him anyways. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if he wins,
it's $1,000 more, but that's still a bonus. Yeah. You know,
but then if he doesn't get the knockout, then you save it. So in the end, it fucking
exactly.
balances out. You
know? So you're still, because if same thing, if that guy would have won, you're out 4 G's. You know what I'm saying? So you still get the same fighter. He's gonna have incentive to finish the fight because he's gonna make that extra $1,000, and that all when you're a younger guy, that matters. So it's absolutely. Like, how come me and you can sit here and have this conversation and it can make sense to us, but the guys who are running the goddamn thing, it doesn't make any sense to them?
Well, the UFC on their side, they're going to say, well, yeah, that's great for the individual fighter, but we're going to have to pay two fighters their full thing. You know, let's say you got two fighters on the same contract. They're going to pay 124, but then the other guy, they're going to pay 12.
Yeah.
They're doing this now. They're going to pay both guys. It's going to cost them 40 G's plus five. If, you know,
there's a finish.
Now, I don't think that's that big a deal. And I don't know, because we don't know what happens inside that room between these negotiations. But to me, it falls on the manager. But I don't know what happens, and you don't know what happens because it's not public. But the manager should be taking a stand for a flat fee. But for all we know, the UFC could be saying, look, your guy is a nobody. We're not going to guarantee that, and you can keep fighting in fucking Bellator if you want to. This is what we do here in the big leagues. And if your boy makes it, then he'll make more money, and you'll make more money. Maybe they say that, and the managers just take it or leave it.
Well, I'm talking about all this also because Jose Aldo made some questionable remarks about fighters' unions.
Well, let's veer off at 251 and talk about that for a minute, because I tweeted about that. Those comments made me mad. I'm like, dude.
Yeah. Well, this is why it will never happen.
I mean, if because that's his real opinion,
everybody's
then he's a
so
moron
it.
When it comes to that.
Yeah.
You know, and if that's not his real opinion, he's just shilling bullshit for the UFC, which makes me lose respect.
It makes sense, though, because then
he was
all... Well,
let's tell people what he said. He said, I don't know the verbatim quote, but he came out and somebody asked him about fighters unionizing, and his thing was, yeah, that's great, but not right now. It'd be the worst thing we could do right now as fighters is form a union, because the UFC is being so kind and generous and giving us work when they don't have to do that. Like, he made it sound like the UFC is putting on fight cards because they care so much about these fighters, Paul, that they're making sure they can feed their fucking families. Like, they're heroes, bro. The UFC and Dana White, they're basically heroes in the time of COVID.
That's just not true, though.
No, it's nonsense.
Just, well, no, not even that, because it's not even true, the whole they're allowing us to work thing. Because every fighter, or at least most of the fighters, have in their contracts that if the UFC was not offering them fights and not putting on events, they would have to still pay them.
Yes.
Because that's how those contracts work.
They have to offer them at least three fights a year.
And that's why a lot of the guys over at PFL right now are really mad, because the PFL is instead of choosing to reschedule events and schedule for later dates, they are doing that. They're paying out the contracts like they would have, like these guys have normal jobs, because it's not the exact number of what you'd pay to get fight to actually fight. So you'd be making whatever your like standard check would be, I guess.
Yeah, they get a monthly fee over there plus fight purses.
Yeah,
to my understanding of it, those are private too. But I don't know why Aldo would come out and say that, because this is actually the best time that they could have formed a union
sense,
right now.
Yeah.
When you have some leverage. Look what just happened with Masvidal. The UFC is so desperate. They're like, okay.
They paid him his number,
Like, the whole card could have been like, F you, pay us.
Yeah.
And the UFC lose one event like that, and suddenly they're going to be writing checks, bro.
Well, yeah, but, of course they'll be writing checks, because you know who's not going to be writing checks if they do that? Disney. Disney will stop writing checks if they're not right. putting on events.
And the UFC has to.
How did they not realize this shit?
It's public knowledge. Does Aldo not understand that the UFC is contracted to put on like 42 events, and if they do that, they're guaranteed $750 million from the UFC. And you know what's not stipulated? Who fights on those cards?
That's why Brock Lesnar will never come back. That's why Conor probably will never come back.
Guys don't get their money. They don't get the they won't that get loot what they anymore. Got. Yeah. The UFC gets guaranteed cash. They just got to churn these cards out.
No matter the sales, no matter the views, no matter what, they still get their hit.
People might say, well, then why they bust their ass to get Masvidal? Well, because they really want this to succeed over there in Abu Dhabi because they made certain stipulations to put on a big fight. Why? Because Abu Dhabi paid for everything. It's like the UFC kind of got paid in advance. They could afford to give Masvidal more money in this case that he was asking for because they didn't really have any expenses associated with going to Abu Dhabi. Like, the most expenses they had was maybe gas in their fucking jet flying over there. Everything yep. else is financed, which good for them. That's smart business. But
still.
It's not a normal situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, that's why I was like, fuck Aldo with what he said.
Yeah.
And now he got his ass kicked. And I don't know if you're going to be sticking around 135, bro. I mean, the guy's legendary and all, but there comes a time when it's over. Like, how many fights now has this dude lost?
Three in a row.
Three in a row in, what, five out of his last seven or something?
Something like that.
He lost twice to...
The only two wins I think he has are over Jeremy Stephens and the young Moicano. Brazilian cat. Yeah,
Renato Moicano. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. That's I it. Think those are his two wins. Oh, no. He's got one against Frankie Edgar in the middle.
And he's always going to be Frankie.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Frankie's in the same position as Aldo now.
But think about it, though. So he lost to Connor, beat Frankie, lost to Max twice.
Then he lost to Volkanovski. No. Then he lost to Marias. Yep. And now he lost brutally to Peter Yan.
Uh huh.
A guy that most of the world had never even heard of.
That's six of his last eight.
Yeah, that's tough times for Jose Aldo. I don't know if you want to stick around in this shark tank.
Yeah.
I think Aljamain Sterling would have beat his
ass. Talking about a guy who didn't lose for 10 years.
Yeah. That's how quickly your fortunes change in mixed martial arts, man.
It's true. It happens. Shit. Happens to the best of them.
It does.
A lot of people have Aldo as their featherweight goat.
Fuck yeah. It doesn't diminish his accomplishments.
Yeah.
It happens to all fighters.
Yeah.
You're not going to be Floyd Mayweather. It happens in boxing too, but it happens perfect even worse
is,
in MMA.
Perfect example is Chuck Liddell, bro. That one.
Oh, yeah.
That one loss to Rampage just like started this trickle down effect where he just started getting slapped, bro.
Absolutely.
Like, slapped.
When it happens, it happens. Look at Chris Weidman, too. Chris Weidman was the thing until he
look
was
at the guy who did it to Chris Weidman.
Getting fucking knocked the fuck out, yeah.
Luke Rockhold on the same side. Like, yeah. Crazy.
Aldo just
it's a young man's game.
Jose Aldo held his together for a longer time, that's all. That's what makes him one of the greats. I don't think he's the GOAT, but he's one of the absolute greatest fighters of all time, for sure. No denying.
I think he's one of the featherweight goats. I don't think he's in the greatest of all time conversation.
Well, yeah, I was referring to featherweights.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think he's done now.
I think
he could keep fighting, but you're just going
to
be.
He should move over to Bellator or something like that. Yeah. But the problem is he's such an established name. The UFC doesn't let go of established names.
No, they think he can.
They're going to squeeze They're going to squeeze. And I'd imagine he still has a good amount of fights on his contract or some shit like that.
Yeah, the UFC with these 10-fight deals that they signed.
Well, that's the thing. Bullshit. That's another thing is, like, Masvidal got his money, but he also signed, like, a 6-fight deal.
I know, he came out and said they force you with these big, long contracts,
mm-hmm.
which is bullshit, too, because they have a take-it-or-leave-it policy. Oh, it's 8 fights or nothing, bitch. What are you supposed to do?
Especially when
they hold a clause on you. Like, you know, there's a clause,
that's like
to my understanding, that if you're a champion and you lose and it's the last fight of your contract, you're automatically extended another fight.
Well, not only that, that's in Bellator, too, though. Bellator is the same thing because that happened to Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen fought for the belt against, like, you know how he was in that title tournament?
Yeah, yeah.
So those are technically, like, all, like... title fights. Ooh. So he was under contract but not under contract when he fought Fedor. Like, gotcha. He was it was weird. He spoke about it on his podcast, But it was like, if like you fight in a championship fight or a 5-round fight or some shit like that, they have like exclusivity to you for one more fight or something like that. I don't remember.
It's some BS, man.
Some weird shit like that.
Which ultimately is why they should unionize, which we've talked about countless. Everybody's talked about it. And they missed a big opportunity with COVID. And Jose Aldo don't know what he's talking about.
He doesn't.
Either ignorance or shilling for some UFC. Either way, you don't know what you're talking about.
You don't, no.
But let's shift back into the fights. Now we've got Rose Namajunas fought Jessica Andrade in basically a title eliminator in a rematch that she won on. It was. It shouldn't have been a split decision in my mind. It was a better fight than the first one. But
clearly,
it was pretty,
2-1.
Pretty clear.
Yeah.
That Rose won.
Rose took the foot off the gas heavily in the third round, though.
That
Jesus.
She did. Like, she won the first two without question, but she went into that third round looking pristine and came out looking like she got her ass kicked.
Yeah.
One side of the cage to the other. The terrible black eyes, cuts. Mm-hmm. But then first two rounds, you know, she was piecing her up. It was pretty clear. She wasn't getting hit.
No.
She was coming in looking good. And Andrade fought better than she did the first round of their first
There's
fight.
A lot of trades. They're trading a lot.
Yeah. It's a good fight right up to that third round for Rose. But either way, she gets the win. She best be careful fighting like that. I don't know if she wants any of the champ.
I'm sorry, but I don't think Rose is tough enough to win against Zhang Weili. You got to be tough to beat Zhang.
I don't think she should go into that fight yet. I think she should wait.
Like, because
she... someone else.
Although she beat Joanna twice, I don't think she's as tough as Joanna. Like,
I know what you're
physically.
Saying.
Like, yeah. Like, I feel like she's kind of physically frail. Not
if
frail, but
no,
just
not
like...
frail, but...
You get what I'm saying? Like,
sense. No,
compare, in comparison.
Yeah.
Like...
Joanna like, looks lean and tough and
even Jessica
ropey,
Andrade,
muscly.
Even Andrade, wow. She can wear a punch much better than Rose can.
Rose looks kind of like a little bird.
Yeah.
I don't mean any disrespect. She's a great fighter.
Yeah,
she's
a former great.
Champ. Dude,
yeah.
She whoops ass. But
yeah, I don't think she has the toughness.
And when you look at the champ, dude,
she's a fucking
she looks
buzzsaw.
Like a whole other weight class, too.
Yeah.
I mean, she's real muscly. She's real tough.
She hits like a
tank.
Fucking Mack truck,
she
too.
She hits like a Mack truck. Yeah, I don't see anybody beating her right now.
No.
And I don't think Rose, maybe she can in the future, but I think she needs another fight in between, in my opinion.
That's well, you know they're going to rush her in. Because
you know they're listening to me.
Yeah, of course.
You know, Pat Barry and Rose are tuning in right now, and Whitman and the whole team, and they're like, what the fuck does Jared think over there at SWAT MMA we should do? So now you know what's up, everybody. So, I mean, what do you think was next for her?
I think they're going to rush her into the title shot.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. That's the UFC, right?
It's the UFC, bro.
They don't give a fuck.
Well, and she's like kind of the clear number one contender if you look at it, because who else has really made a big splash in that weight class lately?
I get confused. Is Tatiana Suarez not 115?
She is, but she has a serious neck injury.
Okay.
That she's rehabbing.
I would say she should get the title shot.
I think Rose and her should fight. That'd be a good fight.
That'd be interesting. That would be a better fight for Rose than running into the champ right now. I think you need another fight back.
She might be 125, though. Tatiana? I gotta look at that.
Well.
You know, good old weed.
There's so many fighters. There's only 600 fighters in the UFC right now. And Suarez has been inactive for a little while. I thought she had a knee problem, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, her wrestling is pretty stifling. She would give Rose some trouble, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But Rose is very, I mean, look, Rose is world class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she
striking-wise, yeah.
And her movement is very good, too. Her footwork is excellent.
Yeah.
Her jiu-jitsu is on point. She doesn't get to show it off a lot lately, but she has very strong jiu-jitsu. She could work off her back against Suarez.
Yeah.
But did you find out what she weigh?
All right, so it says here, yeah, she's 115. They have her and Joanna tied for third in the division. So,
okay.
Obviously, Joanna coming off a loss to the champion, Jessica coming off a loss, Rose with a win. It would only either make sense for those two to fight or for Wally Zhang to fight.
You said she has a neck injury?
She did. I want to say she's recovered from it, but I'm not quite sure because, you know, the neck and back injuries, they're so iffy. You never know. You never know.
For sure.
And she wrestled her whole life, so that could be residual effects, you know.
Okay, well, that makes sense then. Well, yeah, if they're not going to wait for her, then, yeah, I'd say the next... I would like to see Rose fight her next, but the UFC would probably rush Rose into a title shot.
Probably.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
What and other then, fight you want to talk about on this card?
I mean, we could talk about Paige. I mean, Paige got fucked up.
Paige Van Zandt, last fight of her contract, got worked by Amanda Ribas.
Yeah, like, jacked her up, which honestly we expected. A minute and a half in.
Yeah, on her, what, arm she's already broken four times, which psychologically she's definitely going to want to protect that. Like, she's no one can blame her for not trying to tough she out fought an arm it. Bar. She did she for a minute. She fought it. It is what it is. Best of luck to her. The UFC's not going to re-sign her.
I mean, they might just for the money she generates. You know, the name.
I hope she gets out. I hope she goes to Bellator or somewhere where she can get where some husband's sponsors.
At. Yeah.
And some fights against some fighters that aren't so fierce. It's not like she was fighting some nobody and she can't even beat. I mean, she's fought an excellent fighter and it worked.
I'm telling you, man, I think the UFC really, really missed out on an opportunity to sign her husband off the Contender Series.
Yeah, and they could have matched Paige up better, too.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, she can beat the Felice Herrings, and no disrespect to her either, but she can beat the Ostoviches.
Yeah.
And these are all other UFC fighters, but you keep feeding her to these sharks.
Well, it's kind of warranted, though, because she wins those fights in such, like, exciting fashion. People want to see more and want to see
she
more.
She does.
You know? Because, like, when she's on fighting someone on her level, she puts on the crazy shit, you know?
Right. She's got the little gas tank goes.
Mm-hmm.
She's got good, decent boxing. She's got good movement. She's a good fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But when she comes across a world-class fighter or some upper level, she gets smoked, man.
Talk about a rising star, though, in Amanda Ribas.
Yeah.
She's fucking...
She's going places.
She's got it. At least technically.
For sure, one to watch at 115.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
What else on this card? Anything else you liked?
I mean, there's plenty to like. Talk about. Like Yuri Brohaska. Oh, shit was sick.
Yeah, knocking
he
out.
Gave no fucks.
Ozdemir in a light heavyweight bout.
Literally gave no fucks. Walked out there, hands down the whole time. Whether you agree or disagree, it was a bad idea. He lived it.
Look, it worked for him this time. He KO'd a guy in dramatic fashion, but he also fought the majority of the fight with his fist at his waist, which you can get away with in Ryzen, bro. And you got away with it in this fight.
He throws hammers, though, bro. You can't deny. He throws with some heat.
He got away with it in this fight. And you might win a few fights in the UFC. It's not the first guy to do stuff like that, but he wouldn't be the first guy to come against the elite and get worked because of it.
Yeah, that's true. But...
I mean, fundamentals are fundamentals. Like, look at Rose Namajunas in that fight. Every time she threw out that jab or that right hand, that her fucking hand came back to her jaw like it was on a string, man, just like it should.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just solid fundamentals.
Bullshit.
And this dude...
he gave no fucks.
I kept saying he was going to get KO'd. I mean, I was wrong.
Yeah.
He's definitely got hands. He's got skills. He knocked out Ozdemir's a legit fighter.
Yeah. No time is legit, for sure.
So, but boy, I think you should keep your fists higher.
Yeah,
and not be so not like he pulled all kinds of shit talking moves. Like it was entertaining.
Yeah,
it was great.
I think that's what he was trying to do was be entertained.
I really thought he was going to get slept pulling that kind of crap in the UFC.
Yeah,
like, got away with it, man. And he's entertaining, and he's definitely got some hands.
And at light heavyweight, all you need to do is generate some buzz, and you're right in the title picture.
Yeah, the way it is right now.
And he's a former champion in Rising too, so
he fights with his hands down like that against John Jones. He's gonna be worked, bro. Yeah.
But that's a whole different.
That's animal. A whole different thing.
I'd like to see him fight Thiago Santos like that.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting, interesting experiment in how tough your chin is.
Yeah, fuck. Well, I think that about wraps up the 251 recap.
Yeah, for real. It was a good card. I'm glad it sold.
We'll see. I'm just kidding.
We got a lot of UFC going on though, so we got a another card coming right up this weekend here on Fight Island.
Mm-hmm. We got Joey Benavidez getting his second shot for Joey two times, of course.
This is for the vacant 125 title, also vacated by Henry Cejudo here.
Yep.
So we had his 135-pound title fought last
weekend
in the last Fight Island. Now we're getting this one.
This title should have been already captured by now.
Yeah, this is a rematch. That we already saw this fight where Figueroa missed weight.
Yeah.
Couldn't win the title and goes on to beat Benavidez.
Just so everyone's clear, he came into Fight Island weighing 135 pounds. So if he misses weight, I swear to God, like 10 pounds in 7 days is not.
That's nothing to worry about for a professional.
No.
So the fight was a little controversial because before the TKO, there was a pretty severe headbutt delivered to Joey Benavidez, which who knows how much that affected things or how much that's just a storyline.
It was also his fault,
a rematch. Yeah.
He jived in with his head because he doesn't. I don't get. He does what fucking Yuri does, man. He freaking when he goes to flurry, he completely drops his hands.
Yeah, he sure does.
Completely.
I don't understand how that still happens at the higher levels with professional trainers, but that's because I come from a biased viewpoint of boxing.
Yeah,
and that's like the thing you learn like on day one that your fucking hand is attached to your chin, bro.
Yeah,
like. So I'm like, how can you be at this level and not understand this? But it's MMA, and I'm biased with my viewpoint. Just like you're like, how can you not defend a fucking takedown, bro?
Yeah, for sure. Like,
what are you doing?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so I get it on that level, but I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think Davidson wins again.
I think he does. I want my fan side. I want Joey to win.
Yeah,
I really do. But after watching that first fight, I don't think so. Figueredo is huge.
He's huge.
I'm like. How does he get down to 125? I didn't realize he was that big till we saw that fight. Benavidez is a legit flyweight. I mean, he shouldn't have been at 35. This guy could clearly be at 35 and be fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he whoops up on him again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a rough night for Joey, unfortunately. Like you were saying, though, like the fan of me, for the story of it, I would love for Joey to be the champion. But
yes, he deserves it, man. He's a great guy. He's put in the work.
He has, but I think it's... The sport's also kind of passed him on. I feel like he's a little bit on the back nine of his career.
Dude, he's old school. He's one of the last of that little crew
of
that alpha male team that was there. Mm-hmm. You know, back when Dominick Cruz was in his heyday and Uriah Faber.
All those WEC guys, really, if you look at it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the last one standing. Did freaking Demetrius fight in WEC?
Yeah.
Okay, well, him and Demetrius are really like the two that are still at the top of the top, you know.
Love to see him win. I doubt it's going to happen. I certainly wouldn't bet money on it. Keep my fingers crossed and root for him, but good luck.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little more interested in the co-main event of this, which is a 170-pound fight, which sees Jack Hermanson, who's a hell of a fighter and a nice guy we've met as well, fight Kelvin Gastelum, who's coming back from
savage.
A weed suspension,
we also
of all things, who we've also met, and we're shocked. I mean, I love the guy, but, dude, he's smaller than me. I don't know how he's fighting. 85. Is this a 170 or an 85? Yeah, I misspoke at 170. This is the 85 because I'm used to Gastelum being 170.
Yeah,
like he's 5'9". It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And he's not like a muscly dude. He actually looks a little chunky in there sometimes, but he's a beast.
But he's got so much power in his hands.
Super skilled fighter.
Yeah,
sick power in his hands.
Stupid power.
I'm really excited about this fight. I like both those guys. The fan of me wants Gastelum to win. Man, that's going to be tough.
One thing we do need to bring up, though, I'm curious to see how Hermanson looks after taking such a devastating knockout from Jared Cannonier.
Ooh, that was tough,
like,
man.
That was rough.
Yeah, Cannonier coming down from 205.
Freaking heavyweight, dude. Not even 205. He
was
a heavyweight. He was a heavyweight when he started the UFC.
That was pretty sick.
Dude,
like, he knocked
him starched
senseless.
Yeah.
And Hermanson was on a run.
Oh, big run. Remember, that was the title eliminator.
Yeah.
Kind of.
If Hermanson won, he would have most likely got a shot.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. This is a tough fight. Because I'm wondering if. Like we were talking about earlier, all it takes is one big one to really change your whole career. You know, one big shot that you don't see coming that starches you and you are never the same. So if Hermanson comes out here and looks great, great. But. If he looks a little shaky, don't be surprised, you know, because no one wants that to happen twice. And your body conditions itself for that not to happen twice.
And he is fighting a guy that's got iron in his fists, man.
Dude, it's
I mean, look at the fight that Gastelum put up against Israel Adesanya.
Or
that
fucking,
was so effing close up to that fifth round when Adesanya took it over.
Mm-hmm.
That's a man that could have been champ.
Or even his fight with Woodley.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good another one.
And that was Woodley in his prime. That wasn't Woodley after, you know, these last two fights where he seems to have clearly fallen off a little bit. Yeah. I think that's undeniable. So, yeah, Gastelum is legit as
He's legit as fuck.
This is bullshit. He got a weed suspension. Yeah. Now, how much weed were you smoking, bro? Where do you get a suspension in 2020?
Yeah, it's got to be a lot. Jesus, he had to have smoked before he went to the Octagon.
Seriously, what were you out that night?
Yeah, right.
Do you have some weed?
No, dude. What the fuck?
I'm going to load this up, man. Marvelous. So I'm really excited about that fight. I don't know who to pick. If I was betting, I wouldn't bet this fight because I just don't know. The fan in me would ultimately like to see Gastelum win because, you know, he's on Team Cannabis. Mm-hmm. We've had the pleasure of talking with him. He's a really cool dude. Like, super nice. I mean, Jack is as well, man. They're both awesome people, but I'm basically going for Gastelum here. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I'm probably going to go with Gastelum.
Is that a fan pick, or is that just like a fighter-only pick?
I think Kermanson might be a little shook. That was a big knockout. He took it last fight. And Gastelum throws.
And we just don't know how he is yet.
Yeah.
Might turn out that he's like Bisping. Like, Bisping took that shit from Hendo and came back and was like, word.
Yep.
You know. Went on to have a stellar career.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Never know.
So that's a great fight, though. To me, that's a main event right there.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got the title fight at the top, so good for them. What else do we got on this card? We've got some others you were interested in.
All right, so we also have, at flyweight, we got Alexandre Pantoja fighting Askar Askarov. Pantoja's a guy who's kind of been in the UFC for a little bit now. He's got wins over... He's beat Brandon Moreno in the UFC and out of the UFC. He's beat Wilson Hayes. Okay. Yeah, he's beat Wilson Hayes. He's beat Kai Kara France. He's had a couple of losses in there, though. He lost a decision to Figueiredo, and I can't remember his other loss, but he lost his UFC debut as well. But he's one of those guys. I think he's ranked fourth in the division. And then you got Askar Askarov, who is undefeated. He's got a draw against Moreno.
So they both fought Moreno.
Yeah. Okay. And, he just beat Tim Elliott in his last fight.
Oh, Tim Elliott lost pretty handily. That's the guy that put the whooping on Tim Elliott.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Flyweight is looking for someone to make some noise. So, let's see if one of these guys can make some serious noise.
There's a lot of opportunity right here.
Mm-hmm.
In that division, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be looking for a title contender right away.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. If Benavidez loses, then I mean he's not. I mean, how many? This is his fourth title shot, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Like it's rough.
So, one of these guys could really make a statement here. Where did how do you say his name? Is it Askar Askarov? I'm not familiar with him. Like when you told me he's the guy who beat Tamilia, now I know who he is.
Yeah.
But if you just told me his name, I'd be like, who?
Yeah.
You know,
he's one of those Russian cats.
Did he come from?
He's from Dagestan.
He's from Dagestan. Okay, so he's tough as nails for sure.
Pretty tough.
I need to hit this real quick.
Yeah, he's pretty cool, I guess. He's one of Khabib's homies, though.
Well.
It is what it is.
For us here, personally, that's kind of a downer, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
He's a good fighter. It seems like it's going to be a good fight. Where did Pantego come from?
I'm not quite sure, to be honest.
I don't know if either of these guys are on the Contender Series or anything. They haven't had any of that weight class on there, have they?
Not much.
They should.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fighters outside of the country in that division.
Yeah, 125. I don't understand
why they don't use the Contender Series or something.
Doesn't make any sense.
They talk about how
a lot of these guys are from that.
There actually is. They're just not here.
Yeah, a lot of those guys are from that Ultimate Fighter season. You know, and that's just what it is at this point.
Yeah, like Matt Schnell's still in the UFC. He's from
That's who fucking Pantoja lost to. His
okay,
first
he
fight.
Lost to Schnell. Schnell's he's a quality fighter, man. Yeah. He's good. I watched him on that season.
Yeah.
I thought he'd blow up a little bit more, but that division's tough to blow up.
It's tough. It's tough because it's...
You're going to be a likable, good-looking fighter, you know,
look at,
smart,
look
out
at,
there doing shit.
Look at your boy who won the Ultimate Fighter also. I'm
trying to clear this. I just keep
He filming. Lost to DJ twice. What the hell is his name? The Magician. Dobson,
yeah.
Yeah. I felt like he was super
John
marketable.
John Dobson, super marketable, man. That guy is hilarious.
Yeah.
But he just lost it, man.
Mm-hmm.
That division's tough, especially when your promoter won't get behind it. But those are some good fights coming up here on that card as well.
Let's talk about on Saturday. We had a new announcement by the UFC as well. They announced their new video game they're coming out with.
The EA Sports UFC 4.
Mm-hmm. With story modes, with the history of George Masvidal's like fighting career and Israel Adesanya, with both them on the cover, showed some cool shit. Like they had a, like you could do like back, like these crazy like arenas like Muay Thai, like
Mortal
shit.
Combat, yeah. Blood sport style,
fucking intense.
Yeah, and this.
And then they had the backyard brawls like with like George Masvidal and shit.
Oh man, that's awesome.
I'm sure that means Kimbo's gonna be in it.
That'd be sick.
And then also, if you pre-ordered, I guess you get Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua as well.
I love the Tyson Fury edition. I don't understand the Anthony Joshua.
I do actually now. Come to think of it, isn't he managed by Zuffa Boxing, or like he has some? He's signed to Zuffa Boxing or something like that.
That does seem to ring a bell. He's a Eddie Hearn's fighter.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying there's some kind of deal there. I can't remember exactly what it is.
There might be.
Yeah.
No, I think those are the two fighters that, this is never going to be made public, but they're getting money
from being
in the video game.
Yeah, for sure.
None of the UFC fighters do. They sign away their likenesses, but Fury and Joshua don't have contracts like that with the UFC.
Well, that's the biggest problem that EA Sports has, and why they discontinued the boxing series, Fight Night, because
all the royalties.
Well, yeah, because people like Floyd Mayweather would sit there and be like, "Pay me $1 million, or I ain't gonna be, or a few mil, and I won't be in the game."
Right.
And so they had like a lot of holes in weight classes, like a lot of the. Like boxers that were active were not in the game. It was like almost like a Legends game. It was like Tyson,
so it
Ali,
was not very realistic.
Holyfield, all those guys were in it, but none of like the new guys were in it.
The new breed fighters taking over, and they're missing a lot of those guys. Makes sense.
Yeah,
makes sense why they focused on UFC then.
Yeah,
they're like, we can use all these fools.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have to pay shit.
Well, and then they make more ad revenue off it too, because then EA Sports makes all these, like they do with the NFL, they do all this like vlogging of how what goes into making the likeness of the players and like all the different shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're making double the money off the fighters.
Well, that's cool. I'm excited for the game. I like checking all that stuff out. That's
super
cool.
It's gonna be dope.
Yeah,
I'm getting it for sure.
Absolutely. That's dope.
Well.
You know, that probably wraps up all the UFC talk, which is about all the MMA we really have these days. We don't have any boxing we can talk about, really.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I think there were some fights that took place, but they're so lower level and unheralded right now. I'm not even sure if that's legit.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully here we'll have some more to talk about on the show in the future. We do have Bellator making an announcement that they're going to be back.
October 9th, I believe.
No, that's a bit, you know, far from
Peter
now.
Peter Quilly versus Pitbull.
That's an interesting fight right there. I like it. I'm a little...
out in Dublin.
I'm interested in hearing more about how that's coming together, but good. I'm glad that we'll have something else in the future, but as for today's mixed martial arts and combat sports in general, that's it, folks.
Yup.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. You can find the show on, of course, wherever you get your podcasts from, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all those things. We're on WBUZ 95 on radio.com, the Orange Radio app on Thursdays, 6 o'clock. West Coast time, and you can get all that information on our website at
SWATMMA.com, where you can head over there, hit the gear button, get yourself a nice t-shirt or maybe a nice coat. You know, winter's coming.
Yeah, we got some new designs coming out on there soon, so stay tuned, folks.
Word.
Peace.
Peace.